Welcome to
2 o'clock with Keller.
Bring your tea
and leave with more.
Welcome to a very, very exciting episode this week.
Into the last three episodes of series three.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're near the end, going out with bang, reunited. It's the Rocket Woman Book Club, part 3/part 2. Second time you guys are here, but
yeah,
third one. So yeah, we've got two very special guests with us. We have the other Ella.
Hello, so lovely to be here.
We're very glad to have you. We also have George with us.
Thank you for allowing me back.
You're welcome. And yeah, before we get into book club though, we're going to do our classic what we've been consuming.
Yeah.
So, Ella, do you want to kick us off?
Okay, let me get my little note that says what I've been consuming, because I have the memory of a goldfish. I've started to read The Man Who Died Twice by Richard Osman, Thursday Murder Club one, because I took a trip to the Falmouth Library to go find some children's picture books, ended up signing up to the library to take out said picture books, then got distracted by all the other shelves of fiction books and picked up The Man Who Died Twice and Cleopatra and Frankenstein. Not that.
Oh my god. Can I just say, can we do like a buddy read for Cleopatra and Frankenstein?
Yes, please.
That would be so fun. Yeah. Okay.
So I've started that one. I've been reading it before I go to bed, which is quite nice, quite fun. I've been listening to, probably is no surprise to anyone who ever listens to this podcast and knows that I listen to Hozier on repeat. And there are three new Hozier songs in the world.
Yeah.
So he released, as of recording, yesterday on St. Patrick's Day, which is also his birthday.
He released an
EP, Eat Your Young, with three new songs.
Eat Your Young. Oh, I have a Hozier related thing that I think will be absolutely tantalizing for the podcast. My mum works with someone whose cousin is Hozier.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
To the floor.
Goodness gracious.
That is my addition.
Wow. So yeah, I'm thoroughly enjoying that. And he says that the album coming out at the end of summer is going to be 17 or 18 songs long.
Whoa.
After he only gave you three this time?
I know. And he's been saying he's going to release his album for about 3 years now. So very exciting time to be a Hozier fan.
Maybe I need to start really becoming a Hozier fan.
Yes. I think as English students, they just eat Hozier up.
Yeah.
Which is quite funny considering the song is called Eat Your Young. Anyway. I'm gonna stop waffling because this is gonna be a long episode.
Oh, yeah.
And watching Ella and I watched The Old Guard.
Yeah,
I keep meaning to watch that since it's come out, and I'm
You should. Big fan.
It's just an action flick with some immortal assassins in it. I'd intended to watch it for ages, and then watched 10 minutes of it and not enjoyed it, and then Ella made me watch all of it.
Yeah.
It's really
good. Dudley from Harry Potter's in it.
Really? Yeah,
that is correct. It took me ages to recognise him because he's grown.
So, and supposedly the second one's going to come out at some point this year, but there's nothing actually, I don't know, seems a bit hazy. But potentially there's going to be a second one. Fingers crossed. Anyway, Harry, should we go to you next?
Yes.
Okay.
And then we'll go to George, and then we'll go to Ella.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I have been listening on repeat to Heaven by Niall Horan, which is actually kind of old now, because I think it came out the day after my birthday, but a month later it's still going strong, and I haven't had the opportunity to shout it out yet, so everyone please listen to it. He's done a beautiful acoustic version as well, and I forwarded the email to that George. I was like, what's it? So yeah, highly recommend. Can't wait for the album to come out. I think it's coming out in June, maybe. I don't know, but I'll be shouting that out again in series four. For reading, I just finished yesterday Vladimir by Julia May Jonas, and it was so bad, and I saw so much hype. I was like, this is going to be the best book I've read all year, and it absolutely wasn't. So no more to say about that, just don't read it. And then for watching, I don't know if this is going to be the same as what you're going to say, George, so I won't bang on, but George and I went to watch Guys and Dolls at the Bridge Theatre, and it was literally like the best show I've ever been to. So I could not recommend it anymore, like complete opposite to Vladimir. It was phenomenal. I don't have enough good words in my brain to express how much I loved it. So get your tickets to Guys and Dolls at the Bridge Theatre now.
It's running till September.
Yeah.
I will link it on the blog for anyone who wants to buy tickets. Yeah.
Genuinely, I'm thinking about dedicating like £39.50 a month just to get the standing tickets.
That sounds so worth it.
Yeah. Hey, on that note, George, what about you? What have you been consuming?
Well, since you shouted out Guys and Dolls, I shan't shout out again.
Well, you can.
Well, yesterday we watched the penultimate episode of The Last of Us, which was insanely good. And insanely knee curling. I won't spoil anything because in case you ever watch it, but if you see it, you'll know what I mean by knee curling. So yeah, that's been really good. I think we're gonna watch the finale tonight. So we've ended up only a week behind everyone else, despite only starting it a few weeks ago. Listening wise, I've been really, really enjoying some Sam Fender recently. I don't know what it is. I think I've been looking for like medium to high energy songs at work with a bit of attitude behind them, because a lot of my music does not consist of that. And I say getting started is the one that I've been listening to the most, which I keep hearing on a Norwegian Cruises advert, and I'm like, I know the tempo is the vibe, but the lyrics really don't match a Norwegian cruise. And then reading, I've been reading I'll Give You the Sun. I've got a quarter left.
Yeah.
I'm nearly through it. Yeah, I've been reading that on the train in the mornings. I do love when there's ink splatters on the page and like swooshy paint aesthetics. It's very nice. Is that all my consumption ticked?
I think it is.
To you, Ella.
Hello. What have I been consuming? Well, I've been in, this is essay season has arrived, and so also New Girl season. Yeah. So essay season has intensified, and so New Girl season has intensified. It's fantastic. 20 minutes of just sheer joy to interrupt the, I don't know, stuff. And but also I've been introduced to some like new TV series of quality as well, like exciting ones like Shadow and Bone. with you guys the other night.
Carrie just has no expression then on her face. George and I were like, whoop, whoop.
Carrie and me were spending quite a lot of the first episode of season two going, so what's the plot? What's going on here? Me, because I hadn't watched season one. Carrie, because she clearly did not pay
attention. Because did you know there was a recap that Netflix put at the start of that series? What? Why didn't we watch that? Who's this? Because when we went to watch it last night, she put the recap on, and I was like, this would have helped so much.
I don't know if that was my fault, but
that was your fault.
The leader of the Netflix party, I will sincerely apologise that you couldn't remember who the main character was.
I just forgot the names.
SMH.
Yeah. So that was a really fun experience for all of us.
Yeah.
And also Ella's been making me watch
Oh, you got three watches.
I know, Daisy Jones and the Six. It's been really fun. Clearly I'm not writing enough essays. Yeah, that is fun. I'm currently three episodes in. And I don't know, it's kind of fun to see these people enjoying making music. Having a nice time, popping about.
Oh, do you have a favourite song?
Great question. I don't care enough.
Mind you, and you haven't, because you've only watched the first three episodes, she hasn't got to the bit where they're actually writing the songs, apart from Honeycomb.
Yeah.
They're writing the songs for the album.
Ella keeps playing the album in the kitchen, though, so I have been enjoying them.
Nice.
I have been listening to what Ella plays in the kitchen. And also my very exciting new playlist on Spotify called Word Songs But I Can't Understand Words, which is quite an exciting development for me because I can't listen to music with words in it while I'm working. My brain like can't separate out. It gets distracted. But as I've discovered, if I listen to songs in a foreign language, it means I'm not listening to weird jazz or classical music.
But that makes so much more sense.
Right?
It's such a fun theme.
Yeah. So I'm enjoying it. I also watched like a couple of weeks ago a TV series called Jiva, probably, which is like a dance competition set in South Africa. Very fun. And had some great South African music. And so I googled it and then made a playlist of much of it.
What have you been reading this week?
I've been reading something called The Daughter of the Moon Goddess. It's a little duology, kind of high fantasy type vibes. It's all based on Korean mythology, I believe, South Korean, and there's sorts of fun. She's the daughter of the moon goddess and goes about fighting people.
Thank you very much. I think we're ready to jump into our book club. We're not reading a singular book and talking about a singular book, which you classically do in the book club. I don't know why I'm saying this. We've done book club episodes on the podcast before.
But maybe people haven't listened to the previous episodes, so, you know.
So Kerry wonderfully put together a list of 10 questions,
cool questions
about books to ask all of us. So we have all come up with some answers, and we're just going to go through question by question and chat through all of our answers.
And hopefully you'll get some good recommendations off of this.
Yes. And some anti-recommendations potentially
What do you want to do? Should we go in order? Is that easiest?
Yes, please, because I have made a whole list preparing the questions.
Yeah. Oh my order. God, they're highlighted.
Yes,
and a little highlighter.
And a little mug, I enjoyed that. Nice. So I'll premise each question by reading the question.
Yeah, Ella, you and I can take it in turns.
Yeah, we'll take it in turns. And our guests can go first with their answers.
Yes.
And then we will.
Place of honour.
Okay, let's just get going then.
Yeah.
First question is, what book are you most embarrassed to have read? Think Guilty Pleasures. So, a book that you've maybe... Oh, wait, I've just realised we haven't actually asked one of you to start. Who would like to start?
I think George should start.
I can go since I have prepared thoroughly. So it took me a while to think about this because I think generally I'm not embarrassed of much of what I read. And then I realised as I was looking at my bookshelves, remember when you bought Connor Franta's autobiography, A Work in Progress? Now, some of it had merit, some of it was interesting, but I look back now and I'm like, that just didn't happen. Like, it would talk about experiences and they were so generic and so, like, wishy-washy that it's just, like, you've just invented this as a tool for your autobiography. And I also feel like a YouTuber in their 20s cannot write an autobiography.
I don't know.
You just not lived. So yes, I look back at that and think, oh dear, it was 2015, we move. But yeah, I think I am shamed, not even embarrassed, shamed to have read that.
If someone saw you on the train, you know, they'd think that you admired this person.
I mean, I still don't mind Conor Franta. I don't watch his videos or whatever. I didn't have anything against him.
No.
But the content of that book, Room 101, please.
Yeah. How about you, Ella?
Mine is a completely different track. This is not, you know, someone who I'm embarrassed to have read something by or a bad quality book. I have read Fairy Smut.
Haven't we all?
Which I just wouldn't want anyone to see the book covers of, you know?
Can we have examples?
Book recommendations.
Do you know what? This one it's actually more plot in this than anything else, but the best thing about it is it's called, okay, Lyra of Lunos and the Power of Five. And the main character, cool lady, has four love interests. Oh. And they're all her love interests.
Wow.
And it's low-key great. It's a really fun read. It's one of my comfort books.
I want to read this, four love interests. Let's go.
Right?
Yeah.
They're all cool.
Have you ever read the Court of Thorns and Roses books? Because that's Fairy Smut.
Yeah.
Not so much the first one, but it gets heightened. That second one, geez, man.
Heightened.
No, I've read her other one. Her other stuff.
Her other stuff doesn't have much.
No, she's left her roots.
Oh, blimey, man.
So that's what I would be most embarrassed to admit to reading.
Yeah. Mm. But I guess that's something that maybe not as many people would recognise the cover of.
No.
So you could probably get away with say you were reading it on public transport.
Mm.
But if someone asked you what it was, then maybe not.
Read over your shoulder.
Yeah.
The type of thing you have to like. Yeah. Anyway, Harry, what are you embarrassed by?
This is something that, like, I'm not embarrassed to have read it, but it's embarrassing reading in public. Was Notes on Heartbreak by Annie Lorde, because, I mean, like, then everyone on the train knows that you're going through it, which isn't a bad thing. But I was like, oh, like, I don't know, especially on the bus surrounded by other students. I was like, oh no, I don't want to know that I'm literally like crying over someone. So it wasn't a vibe, but it actually is a really good book. I do recommend it, so I'm glad to bring it up, because it's not really a memoir. It's more like a period of her life where she's heartbroken, but it feels very, it's more like narrative nonfiction, which is quite big at the moment, isn't it? So if you like that style, well, I don't know that you get a lot out of it if you've not been heartbroken, but who hasn't? And it has the most beautiful cover. It's all pastels. Maybe I'll put a picture of it somewhere on the blog, perhaps. But that's, I do
really good. That's really interesting.
What about you, Ella?
I feel like partly jumping off the whole Fairy Smut thing. I mean, when I was kind of embarrassed to even add A Court of Thorns and Roses to, I've mentioned this so many times in this podcast now this last few weeks, but when I read that when I went back home, I was kind of like umming and ahhing over whether to put it on my Goodreads. I was like, I don't want people to know that I, a 22-year-old, have reread this. I, an English literature student,
still find
a little bit of joy in these kind of YA fantasy.
You enjoy what you enjoy, Ella.
Yeah.
And I feel like, so then I was like, okay, what else have I been like embarrassed to read? And I was thinking, oh, I'm like an English literature kind of more academic-y side. Reading Telony, even just having a book in my bag on the bus, I was like, I don't enjoy this.
Is that on the train?
It's a book about, it's a Victorian pornography book.
Yeah.
What isn't it about? That's my response. I didn't even read it, but I've got the memories.
And I feel like that's also the sort of book that I feel like I need to get rid of it. But then how does one get rid of a book like that? You can't take it to the charity shop.
You just force it onto someone else.
I kind of like, though, that the audacious audacity, audaciousness, don't know which word, of having it on your shelf. I know, I think that's quite a fun power move.
Yeah, I know, that's what I'm umming and ahhing about, so.
And then you get to, you know, if people go, oh, look, I know what that is, it's an immediate red flag.
Depending on how they talk about
depending on how they talk about it.
So, yeah. But I also feel like sometimes I'm a little bit embarrassed when I read kind of chick flicky stuff. I know that I shouldn't be, but I feel like that comes back to this whole, like, I don't know, meant to be a... Mm. An intelligent English literature student.
For me.
And I'm like, if people see me reading Emily Henry, they're like, why are you buying these airport books? Not that I don't get joy out of it, because I do, but actually I don't like Emily Henry that much. But that was just an example.
No, I get that with Colleen Hoover. I'm like, oh no. But then I guess that it depends if you know her or not. Mm. There are a lot of people who would judge they don't know her. I don't know.
Yeah,
for me they're like the book version of New Girl. It's just like something you don't have to take too much of your brain to during term time. Anyway,
that was question one.
Yeah, and I should say that obviously you should feel no shame reading what you enjoy,
unless it's Connor Francis. No, sorry Connor.
We
love you. I don't know you, but
this boy runs like half marathons on like random Wednesdays.
Whenever he doesn't come off my Instagram much, but whenever he does, he's running or jogging or outside.
Okay,
on to question two. What's the one book that's been in your to be read pile for ages and why haven't you read it yet? Who's beginning? Let's go with Ella Metcalf.
I have wanted to read The Lord of the Rings for ages. I'm obviously a big fan of the movies, but also with my weird little interest in the environment, he was quite good at, I don't know, thinking about trees and stuff like that. So that's been on my path like since last summer. But last summer I decided to read like all 3,000 pages of the Harry Potter books instead. Wasted all that time. I mean, it was very fun.
Not wasted.
But there were so many pages that dedicated all to the same series. And that's why I haven't read it yet. They're too hefty to take on in term time. Mm. And
I think I respect that, because I have also only ever read the first one. I read that last summer.
Mm.
So I'll read the second one this summer.
Yeah,
the life project.
What about you, George? What books are you looking for? TBR.
So, I think a book that I have wanted to read for ages but have never got around to, I think I'm mildly intimidated by it for some reason, is Little Dorrit by Charles Dickens.
Oh,
because I loved the TV, like BBC series that they did of Little Dorrit years ago, and we have the book like by our front door. We have loads of Dickens books by the front door, so I have been able to access it for years, but I've just never read it. So I think I just need to choose a month and go, this month you're reading Little Dorrit.
Yeah,
I mean, his books are effort to read though.
I know, I don't think I've actually ever read fully a Dickens novel.
Neither.
So, I would like to, because I think he always has interesting things to say.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Little Dorrit with the kind of class commentary.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think I've been intimidated by it.
What about you, Ella?
I guess jumping off that kind of being intimidated by things, I've wanted to read Les Mis and War and Peace.
Whoa, really?
For maybe since I knew they existed.
Oh my God.
I don't know why. Maybe because I've loved adaptations of both that I've seen, but they're proper hefty, dense, kind of bricks.
Yeah.
And I did once attempt. I read the first page of War and Peace. was one of these pages where it was the beginning of a chapter, so it's only actually the bottom half of the page because it's got like chapter one written on the whole half first page. And there were just so many different long Russian names that I was like, how am I going to keep track of all of these people?
Mm.
So it's going to be something that when, if I ever do get round to it, I'm going to have to read it with like a notebook so I can be like, so-and-so, and then write down who this person is so that I can keep referring back.
So I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I'm sure once you get into it, you would kind of understand it a bit more.
Okay. Highlighters and colour code names.
Yeah. So one day. But I guess maybe a more manageable one is, I've been meaning to read A Testament of You. The Testament? Just Testament of You. Since I started university.
So, isn't that still on your Goodreads? Like it says you're reading it right now.
Yeah. I'm going to have to start again from the beginning.
Mm.
But I picked it. I got it just before I came to uni, started reading it, and then just stopped. Not that it wasn't good. It was good. I just... yeah, it's just there sitting for me, waiting to read it. So maybe it's a big book fair.
It is. I was about to suggest that. Big book fair.
It's very what about you, Gary?
I am going to say The Princess Bride by William Goldman. And I've been meaning to watch it since. I don't know if Richard Osman was talking about the book or the film, but he brought it up on Pointless ages ago. And I was like, if Richard recommends it, I bet it's absolutely banging. But I just haven't got around to it because I swear I read somewhere online that it was like 800 pages. I was like, oh, I'm not doing that. But I think that like it might have originally been like a super old work that was that long. But the book that came out, I don't know, like mid 20th century is actually only like standard length, maybe like abridged or something. So I finally this year got it for my birthday when I realised that. Because I've been wanting to watch the film as well, but I can't watch that until I finish reading it, or well, started reading it. So that is on my to-be-read pile quite literally now, and I will be reading that this year. So I'm excited for it because it's like not something I'd normally read because it's fairy tale-esque and adventure-y, and that's not for me. But I mean, as I say, Richard, I was like, I'm going to read it for you.
Yeah.
Trust in the rented.
Yeah.
Jim mentioned it in the lecture he was giving us the other day, even though it wasn't his lecture. He was giving Jason Baskin's lecture, which used examples from The Princess Bride.
I remember that lecture. Yeah, I remember that.
Watching Jim give that lecture, hilarious.
He just kept thinking about it the entire time.
Yeah.
But I don't imagine that's his comfort territory.
No, it was quite funny. Anyways, on to question three, which is quite a fun question and a tricky question I found to answer. I don't know about you guys. Question three is, which book character would you like to be married to / in a relationship with?
Very.
I can't wait to see people's answers to this one. So... Georgina, would you like to kick us off?
So, I have two answers. In some ways, I think I've thought quite practically about this because I feel like I have more TV who I'd want to be married with and film than book crushes. However, for the lifestyle, for the love, for the joy, for the surroundings, we've got to go with Mr. Bingley.
Oh my god, genius.
Because like what a life you'd have. And I feel like, you know, 18th century, I feel like you could have a real sense of not being in the 18th century of Mr. Bingley because he's just so lovely and so kind. But also you can while your days away in Derbyshire, if I can't remember if that's where they live. And I thought, perfect. However, if I fancy a wild week away, a wild little adventure, we have a second answer.
No.
We have Jean-Benoît Aubery from Frenchman's Creek, who's the French pirate. And you know what? Maybe sometimes I just want to go and sail around France. Maybe rob some people. Yeah. Watch the sandpipers. He can do some sketching. I'll just lay on the deck having a nice time. So they're my dual answers.
I love that so much.
I thought a lot about this.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Right, they're so practical as well as answers. You've imagined your life together.
Yeah. Respect.
I love that.
That's okay. It didn't take me that long to think of this answer. I'm sticking with the person who has been my childhood book crush since I was a childhood.
You were a childhood. Yeah,
I was. And that is Percy Jackson.
Oh,
I know. Because it's still to this day, like, and then of course Riordan brought out like books where he's like a slightly older teenager as well, and I was an older teenager and I was like, wow. Anyway, he's just such a nice, funny person, and cool.
He's a demigod as well. I mean,
That's so true. But I would just have fun having a conversation with him, like all the times.
Yeah. Well, what about you, Carrie?
I decided that it would have to be one of my teenage crushes. Mm-hmm. And I settled on Joe Fontaine from Jandy Nelson's The Sky Is Everywhere, because he's just so beautiful. And like, there's scenes when they're in the woods together, like him and the main girl, and like he's just saying beautiful stuff about like how he wants to be in the sky with her, that kind of thing. Mm. I was like, oh. But also, pretty much all the Noahs in any book from when I was a teenager. I swear if a character is called Noah, he's just beautiful. Also, Oscar from I'll Give You the Sun, love him. Like when he leans against the wall and he's talking about how he does a James Dean lean, I was like, oh, I didn't know that was a thing, but now it is.
Oscar, mate.
Yeah, but for people who don't know who I'm talking about, I say Atlas from It Ends With Us. You can't go wrong. I just love Atlas. So
is he the nice one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, he is. Yeah. Don't worry. Yeah.
You have 5 book boyfriends, which is sensible, or just many.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say basically Joe, but. Yeah. Anyway, Ella, who did you pick?
I did a George.
Mm.
I picked 2.
Two
varying views of my life.
Interesting.
For the very, very wholesome, very sweet little life, I could go live in the Shire and be married to Samwise Gamgee.
Really?
I absolutely love that. I would live my best life in a little hobbit hole.
Do you fancy him, though?
I just think I'd live a very comfortable, happy life. I could have an affair with Legolas. That would be quite fun. I'm sure Sam wouldn't mind. But say I wanted to fulfil a fantasy of living in Victorian London with my cool... This is going back to my teenage years. My cool demon fighter husband. I would marry Will Herodale.
I thought about him too, actually.
Oh.
Because Will's got a softness to him. Will's very attractive. He's got the kind of dark hair, bright blue eye thing going on.
Which one was he? Wasn't he from
the Infernal Devices?
Yeah, the Infernal Devices. Yes. I remember.
But I'm honestly any Herondale.
Hmm.
I mean, girls, man. Because I mean, you've got Jace with his little blonde hair, whatever.
Yeah.
But I could live in Victorian London with Will Herondale.
Such a smart choice.
What more could you ask for? What a hobbit hole, I suppose. But
I'm wise now.
We've learned a lot about each other in this one question.
What great question!
What's wrong with that?
Oh, nothing. I like the fact that you're committed to having an affair with Legolas, though.
Oh, yeah.
the opportunity if it arises while you're in the
I mean there's and then I would say Aragorn, but I feel like he's very settled with Liv Tyler. I can't remember. Arwen.
Someone does not simply not go with Legolas.
I wouldn't want to intrude with that, so
one does not simply settle.
Yeah.
Interesting. Great question, Kerry.
Thank you. Well, I've got another question for you. Hope you enjoy it. Do you have a comfort book? And this might be one that you've, well, hopefully that you've not mentioned on the podcast before, because I've spoken about a lot of mine already.
Mm-hmm.
Ella Metcalf, beginning with you, please.
Mm-hmm. Comfort books are the ones I find, you know, kind of just nice and easy to read. And that's kind of anything by Annette Marie, who is a fantasy writer, bit of fantasy more than sci-fi. And particularly her Red Winter trilogy, which is set in Japan with lots of like Japanese folklore and demons and stuff like that. And the main character is basically the host of a goddess, and she falls in love with a demon, and it's a super cute little romance. Basically, I enjoy the comfort of the patriarchal system that has been, you know, force-fed to me throughout my entire life, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just so easy to...
That makes a lot of sense, I feel you.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that's... She's a good writer of that sort of stuff, I have to say. So,
right, Georgina, over to you.
So, I am much more of a comfort TV show or film person than a book. Like, I'd usually rather watch something of comfort than read something of comfort. Like, I was watching Moon Knight yesterday for the millionth time. but then I realised a slightly different answer, but it's still a book. My comfort book is a fanfic.
Ooh!
Of, it's called Evidence and Instinct, and it's a Life on Mars fanfic. It was, I think it was published in, like, 2011. I think I must have read it for the first time in like 2014, and genuinely, like, once a year at least I go back and reread it, and it's probably like just under 100 pages if it was an actual book. But Sam gets framed for murder, and basically, like, the fic is like the whole police crew like working out how to like clear his name, and there's these two detectives that are like just, you know, after Sam, and it's just like another episode. And because I love that show so much, like, the content of another episode is just ticks every box. So yeah, that's my slightly off-kilter answer, but that is a genuine answer.
No, I enjoyed that.
That is cool. Very you as well, to be fair.
Yeah.
Ella, what about you?
I was trying to think, and I was like, I wasn't sure, because I feel like, say, if I stood in front of my bookshelves and I wanted a comfort book, I would probably always gravitate towards the sort of books I read as a teenager and kind of before, because I feel like there's quite a lot of kind of comfort in the nostalgia you kind of get from those. But I guess if I had to pick specifically, I might potentially even pick just like any of the Harry Potter books. Feel very comforting, very nostalgic and nice to me. And I think a kind of comfort book seems to also align with like a getting out of a reading rut sort of book. And I feel like I could pick up any of the Harry Potter books and it would kind of chill me out and get me back into kind of reading all over again. Yeah. So I feel like I'd have to pick those as comfort books.
Do you know what? I'd probably say that as well. Well, that wasn't my answer, but I'm still going. I swear it must be like a year and a half ago that I started rereading them, and I've got through the first five.
I didn't know that you were rereading them, actually.
You did, because we had a conversation about it, but that's okay.
No, I imagine that we had this conversation, but I've forgotten it. So long ago.
No, I picked for my choice. I was thinking also the same as you, Ella, probably ones from when I was a teenager, but I've already spoken about them. So I opted for one of the more chick lit ones. And I went for the I Heart series by Lindsay Kalk. And objectively, they're not works of art, but if you're looking for something that's easy to read, I guess probably like Emily Henry-esque, even though I've not read Emily Henry. They're so beautiful. Basically, this woman is about, she's engaged to this guy, and she finds out that he has an affair. She's like, what? And she's British. And so she's like, do you know what? I'm just going to leave everything behind, quit my job, and hop on a flight to New York. And so she bumps into this really fit musician, and he's in a band, he's called Alan. And she becomes really good friends with this girl called Jenny, and basically she gets an apartment with her, and then she sets up her own magazine in New York. But each book is like, the first one's I Heart New York, and then it's like I Heart LA, I Heart Paris, whatever, and she goes through all the cities. There's maybe like 7 of them, and it's really, really fun, and I really like it. It's so good.
That sounds like the dream life, to have that life.
Yeah, I just like pretending it is me when I read it.
I think that's what comfort really is, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I think that is a lot of what it comes
to. I want to be a police officer framed for murder?
Obviously.
Like, you like a bit of adventure, so maybe you do, secretly. Mm.
Maybe. No. Secretly.
There were some good answers there.
Varied answers.
Okay, but going from lovely, comfort, wonderful books that we love a lot, completely looking at the other side of the coin and asking, what's the worst book you've ever read or something that you didn't finish? So,
well, I did not have to think about this. My answer is Pamela by yes, because what on earth is going on in that book? Did I finish it? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Proud to say that I did. Can I respect it for the epistolary, can't say it, don't know if I said that right, method, and that being quite radical, revolutionary for the time? Yes. Do I think it's any good? No. It is 600 pages too long. It's just gross. Also, it just could say so much in like a twelfth of the length that it actually is. It's just painful, it's repetitive. The trauma that she goes through is just like, hey, let's go to a new place and have the same trauma. This poor girl. The charm of it in the first 10 pages, where I was like, oh, this is radical for the 1700s, wore off vanishingly fast. So, yeah, Pamela, goodbye.
I respect that with everything in me.
That was a really beautiful and impassioned answer.
Yeah.
Nothing enrages me more than a bad book.
Yeah. And seeing as you picked the same, do you want to hop on
that? Yeah. No, I also agree. Even though I somehow wrote an essay on it, I wrote about Pamela and the Me Too movement.
Oh, yeah.
That's incredible.
Can't remember what that essay was about apart from that. No, horrendous. Did not enjoy it. Painful to read. I did make it to the end, though. I don't think I've ever not finished. I mean, I have several books I'm in the middle of reading, but I've never completely given up on a book.
Really?
As the podcast knows, with Girl, Woman, Other, I didn't give up. I persevered. I finished it. Finished Pamela. I will finish Testament of Youth.
Have you finished every book for every seminar ever?
Yes, but I don't think I'm going to finish Watership Down.
I think
just because it's, I don't think I have time. I will finish it, but maybe not in time for the seminar on Monday. But I will finish it. I don't like not That's finishing
unfathomable.
Books.
I'm the same.
There's nothing wrong with me there, actually. But one of the other worst books I read is potentially The New Me, which I think I've spoken about on this podcast before. I think by Hayley Butler, I think is her name. If you want to feel sad and dissatisfied and just a whole book with the most pessimistic character in the world who's unhappy with her life but does not do anything to change it, read that book. Some people like it, I don't. I just think it goes nowhere.
That's interesting.
Anyway, Ella, what's the worst book you've read?
Well, it's along a similar line, because the worst book I've read, it's not necessarily a bad book, but it's one I didn't finish because of similar pessimism. It's I got from HMV once in Truro, a copy of Sedaris, which is a sort of autobiographical novel vibe by David Sedaris, who I don't actually know anything about other than the fact that he just wrote a book that is funny and ironic and narrates, you know, his story with you know, this through this kind of funny tone. But that this sense of humour that pervades it is so pessimistic and takes manages to take all the joy out of everything by being so critical all the time. I couldn't get more than about 10% through it because it was just making me feel unhappy to read, if that makes sense. It was kind of giving me a way to think about the world that was just negative and sad. So I was like, no, Sedaris, I'm going to not read you anymore. So that's probably the most striking book that I decided not to read. What about you?
I think the only book that I DNF'd was probably Golem and Other, but I only read 20 pages, so like I basically didn't even start it, so it doesn't count, because I'm the same. I just feel really bad because I need to get to the end to realize why it's bad so I can complain about it. So I opted for Hollywood by Charles Bukowski, which was only one star I gave out last year, and the only one star I've given out in years probably, because I know that a lot of books, especially older ones, do have a lot of misogynistic content, and I try and like not necessarily separate it but understand it's a product of its time, but it's just so outrageously sexist that I can't deal with it. And also it's the same kind of vibe that he's so pessimistic and cynical that I just don't want to be in his brain. It's kind of like Hemingway-esque and not a lot even particularly happens, and it's just so dry and dull. And I just think his poetry, I've read some of it, it's beautiful, but I don't know why he bothered to write, because it's actually a book about writing a screenplay, and I'm like, why didn't you just leave it with the screenplay? Why did you write a book of writing a screenplay? I don't recommend it at all. It's painful reading. It's really dry.
That's interesting.
And the opposite of glamorous Hollywood. So,
thank you for listening to the first half of our book club episode. Join us next week when we'll answer the next 5 questions. See you then.
Thanks for listening to
Tea O'Clock with Keller.
See you next time.